Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. One day and counting to the Pennsylvania primary. For weeks, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have been crisscrossing the Keystone State, and Pennsylvanians have had an earful. Over the weekend in Downington, Barack Obama made light of Hillary Clinton's campaign tactics.
Over the last several weeks, since she fell behind, she's resorted to what's called kitchen sink strategies. She's got the kitchen sink flying and the china flying and the buffet's coming at me.
In Radnor, Hillary Clinton responded borrowing a line from a former U.S. president.
I'm with Harry Truman on this. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. And just speaking for myself, I am very comfortable in the kitchen, so...
This hour, On Point, taking the pulse of the primary with Pennsylvania Democrats. A little later in this hour, we'll hear from Pennsylvania voters. Joining me first, however, from Pittsburgh is Mackenzie Carpenter, who is covering the primary for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The paper has endorsed Barack Obama. Mackenzie, welcome to On Point.
Nice to be with you, Jane.
So what does the final push look like in Pennsylvania, Mackenzie?
Well, tonight, Senator Obama will be ending his five-day tour through Pennsylvania in Pittsburgh. And the big question is, will he be able to get the kinds of crowds here that he did in Philadelphia on Friday night, where a record 35,000 people turned out for him? Hillary Clinton, on her end, will be going at the opposite end of the state in Philadelphia. And will she be able to get the kinds of crowds he earned?
Let me bring up the latest poll numbers and have you talk about them. The MSNBC McClatchy Pittsburgh Post-Gazette poll of Pennsylvania voters taken over the weekend at the end of last week indicates that Hillary Clinton is leading Barack Obama 48% to 43%. Put those numbers in perspective for us.
Well, they're not that different from what we've been seeing in most other polls, which put them about 6 points apart. Now, of course, everyone's been talking here about her winning, not so much whether she will win, but by how much. And if she can get that margin up to double digits, then that gives her enough viability to stay in the race. However, if she only wins by about 6%, the Obama people figure this will increase the pressure on her from party leaders to end her campaign. Hmm.
What tactics have Obama and Clinton been using in the final hours in Pennsylvania, and what tactics seem to be working with voters, and what seems to be turning them off?
Well, as you played two very interesting clips from their trips yesterday. I was with Senator Clinton on Saturday, and what was kind of interesting was she really didn't mention Senator Obama very much in her speeches there. I guess it's sort of this building up through as the days go by, and maybe we'll see even rougher language today. Both of them did ratchet up the rhetoric as the day progressed yesterday. I don't think the voters here really are paying that much attention to this, the so-called dirty part of this campaign, the slings and arrows back and forth. They're just happy to be in the spotlight. When I was in California, Pennsylvania, it's a small town on the Monongahela River here, I asked folks about the negative campaigning, and they just shrugged it off as part of the game. But that's trumped to some degree by the fact that Pennsylvania's in the spotlight, and they love having a role to play in selecting the Democratic nominee.
What about the undecided voters? What's on their minds? What are they looking for coming up till tomorrow?
Well, our poll and others it's very interesting. Most of the undecideds are women. And in past primaries, those women, the late deciders, have broken for Senator Clinton. This is not good. Obviously, the fact that we have such a large cohort of undecideds being female in Pennsylvania is not necessarily good news for Senator Obama. And again, I am still surprised that people haven't made up their minds. But again, I can only speak from where I've been, which is talking to voters at individual rallies, most recently Saturday night. people came out of the Hillary Clinton rally, some of them still not making up their minds until tomorrow.
You've been to the rallies, Mackenzie. You've seen the candidates up close. You've been writing about them for weeks now. Can you share some observations and insights into them that most people wouldn't necessarily pick up from watching TV or listening to the radio?
Well, I don't know. I think what you see is what you get pretty much whether you're in a hall watching them speak or on television. But I was certainly struck by when I saw Senator Clinton on Saturday night. She was hoarse. I mean, her voice is, I don't know how she has managed to keep her voice through all of this, but she was extremely focused, well-spoken, strong, even though she had just spent the entire day skipping across the state. She and Senator Obama were in our newsroom last week. Actually, the editorial board, for editorial board meetings, mm-hmm. and Senator Clinton didn't mingle afterwards with reporters, but Senator Obama did. He was very warm. He seemed completely relaxed. That's what struck me. Was the man? You know, they both have incredible schedules, but he seemed to be very comfortable in his skin. So I can say just from one meeting with him, that was my perspective that maybe the voters do or do not see. And Senator Clinton at the rally on Saturday, she was strong and focused, even though obviously a little bit tired from all the speaking had to do.
What about the money, Mackenzie? I've read Obama at this point is outspending Clinton 3-1, true?
Yes, that's correct. And I have to tell you, Jane, in my house yesterday, we got 4 robocalls from, you know, it's just the money that both candidates are spending is unbelievable. You cannot, you don't want to turn the television on because there are just so many ads back and forth. And again, the phone is ringing off the hook. And what's interesting, Jane, about this is that 6 weeks ago, when after the March 4th primaries and Pennsylvania suddenly became in the spotlight, people were saying it might not matter that much. Well, it's obviously mattering a heck of a lot. If you see the kind of negative campaigning that both sides are doing now, clearly the stakes have gotten a lot higher.
You've been attending Republican functions as well, Mackenzie, and I'm wondering if you could explain or describe the tone on the other side of the aisle at this point.
Well, I was at a John McCain speech on Tuesday at Carnegie Mellon University, where he laid out his economic plan. And the mood in the room, there were many students there, and of course we know students are Obama's demographic, but there were plenty of folks who were there who were curious to hear what he had to say. And the admiration for this man's biography precedes him. Even if he didn't speak with the same kind of passion, and certainly he did not, he was reading from a teleprompter, word by word, the speech, without deviating once. Mm-hmm. People really seem to like this man. And even, again, he didn't set the crowd on fire, but the folks I talked to afterwards came away with a very good opinion of him. And in fact, I did a piece a couple of weeks ago about how Republicans in this state are feeling that he has the best chance of any Republican candidate in recent years to win Pennsylvania, which has traditionally been kind of a swing state. Mm-hmm. And because John McCain's maverick persona appeals to independents, and because we are chock full of Reagan Democrats here, the Republican leaders I talk to say they're confident that despite this massive surge in voter registration for the Democrats, that those people will come back to John McCain in November.
Mackenzie Carpenter is a staff writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. She speaks with us from Pittsburgh. Mackenzie, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Joining us now from Philadelphia is Don Kettle. He's professor of political history at the University of Pennsylvania, where he's also director of the Fells Institute of Government. He's a native Pennsylvanian. Welcome to you, Don. Nice to have you.
Well, it's so good to be here, Jane.
Thank you. What does this Pennsylvania primary tell us, generally speaking, about the race upcoming in November?
Well, Pennsylvania in many ways is a bellwether for the rest of the country. People often think of the state as being farms in the middle and factories on either side, but in fact it's an extraordinarily diverse state, and it's full of the kind of people that both the Republicans and Democrats are going after as swing voters in the fall. They're not only the white male vote, but also a point that's of increasing concern for the Republicans, the independents and the Reagan Democrats, especially around places like suburban Philadelphia, who had been voting for Republicans but have been sliding to the Democrats. And if Republicans are going to win in the fall, they're going to need to find a way to get these people to come back home.
What surprised you most about this primary, Don? You've lived and worked in Pennsylvania for a long, long time. What's been most surprising for you?
The biggest surprise, I guess, is how much the candidates have fought for every single vote, especially in the central part of the state, where, frankly, there aren't a lot of Democrats to begin with, and where Reagan and Republicans since have really done extraordinarily well. They've been out there just traipsing back and forth in places like York and Lancaster and Harrisburg, out in California, Pennsylvania, that is, and they've been out there just fighting for every single vote. Now, there are big rallies both in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and the thing to remember is that something like half of all the delegates that are going to be chosen on Tuesday are going to be up for grabs in the Philadelphia media market. So that's where the big finish is going to be.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the Pennsylvania primary and its key role in this year's race for the Democratic nomination. What have you learned about the candidates during this latest campaigning frenzy? Are the Democrats playing into the Republicans' hands with this bitter battle? I'm joined by Don Kettle. He is the director of the Fells Institute of Government at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor, I'm wondering, have Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama effectively addressed the issues that are most concerning to Pennsylvania voters? Have they connected?
Well, that's been the big problem. This was supposed to have been the make-or-break primary here, and the problem is that neither of them has fully made it because neither of them has fully connected with the voters. The big issue here in Pennsylvania is the economy, and it's not just a matter of reminding people that the situation in many places is dire. I mean, that's the problem that Barack Obama got into by talking about people being bitter. Whether they're bitter or not, they're not very happy right now. And what voters are looking for is some plan for bringing better jobs for the future, not only for the voters, but also for their kids. And all the voters, I think, are looking for some kind of message on this. It's been about a message of change, but change to what? And that's what neither candidate's completely sold voters on, and that in many ways is, I think, why this race is still going on.
You talk about the economy, and I'm wondering, so many people are hurting there and all across the country, but how have these candidates been courting the working class voters in Pennsylvania?
They've been out there. We've seen the specter of Barack Obama bowling, and we've established, if nothing else, he doesn't bowl very well. Supposedly he has a very good jump shot, but he doesn't bowl well. Hillary was out and was filmed in Indiana, throwing back Boilermakers. They've been out there on whistle-stop tours going through the middle of the country, and then in the countryside as well. Hillary's had big rallies, too, on top of that. They've been out there in the middle of the state fighting, and in many ways, that's the big surprise of this campaign, I think, given the fact that most of the Democrats are in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. They've been out there battling for these people who are viewed as swing voters, the white male voters in particular, the female voters, and people in the middle of the state who really are the swing vote for this fall campaign as well. So the Democrats are out there setting themselves up for this big run in the fall as they're running this race in Pennsylvania.
Any predictions for tomorrow?
I think that it looks like a razor-thin margin for Hillary Clinton, and that in many ways is perhaps the worst of all outcomes for everybody. Not enough of a victory to make her be able to say, look, I really deserve to be able to stay in this campaign. Obama's going to be saying she was up by 16% and she may only win by a hair. On the other hand, Obama, who had been closing on Clinton, may not be able to get quite close enough to close the deal and swing it over. So it could very well simply ensure that this continues to go on. The make or break may not be either.
Don Kettle, hold on just a moment. I'd like to bring a couple of other voices into our conversation now. Joining me from Erie, Pennsylvania, is Pastor Hayes Moses. Hayes is the pastor of the Greater Bethlehem Temple Church in Erie. He's also a registered Democrat who will be casting his vote in tomorrow's primary. Pastor Moses, welcome to On Point. Nice to have you, sir.
Glad to be here.
And with us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is Karen Woodings. Karen is a food program coordinator and a registered Democrat. She'll be casting her vote tomorrow as well. Karen, welcome to you. Thanks.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Pastor Moses, let's start with you right off the top here. What's your take on this very interesting race in Pennsylvania?
Well, I just can't express how excited I am about this this year's election and campaign. It's historical, and I think probably the historical context is what has been so significant for me, particularly as an African-American. I think many African-Americans across the country probably are still stunned at what's taking place right now. I mean, it's a moment in history, and we're watching it. I was just at the first town hall meeting, being able to see Barack Obama in person for the first time here in our city, and I'm in a city that is predominantly white, and it's a city that I would say is probably like a lot of Americans in the sense that when we get through with work, we go to our own private places to worship with people that look like us, and we go to our own bars where people look like us. But in that moment last Friday in Erie, Pennsylvania, that stadium looked like America. You had people from all races and backgrounds there, and to see a candidate that is actually bringing people together instead of seizing in on where we're different, it has brought just a lot of hope to me.
That's the take from Mr. Moses. Karen Woodings, what's your take on this?
I think that I'm really looking forward to casting my vote tomorrow. It's been, I think both of the candidates, I mean, have said some fairly inspiring things, but I think it all comes down to, it's, yes, it's a historic moment. It's not a historic moment for women. There are women in other countries who've had an opportunity to lead, just not here in America.
So at what moment did you know that?
I don't think it's a woman, you know, I don't think it's as much of I think it's historic that an African-American man is running. And we've never had a woman candidate here in America.
But so at what point did you know, Karen, that Hillary Clinton was going to be your candidate of choice?
You know what? I think that as stories have unfolded in recent months, that that's when I made my choice. Actually, one of the things, she spoke to an issue that is incredibly important to me that Senator Obama did not, which is autism. And she supported the Combating Autism Act. And then last year, she introduced the Expanding the Promise for Individuals with Autism Act, which would help identify and get people the treatment that they need. So what I would say is she has definitely spoken to an issue that has affected me personally. I have a child with autism. But
let me turn to Pastor Moses and ask you, healthcare obviously is an important issue for Mrs. Woodings. What is it to your mind that both candidates have spoken to, and what has Obama really pinpointed in to your mind and to your friends and neighbors and relatives that really has turned the table for you?
I am someone who was, I don't want to say was, I am a huge fan of the Clintons. I'm a little sour with them right now, but have been a huge fan of the Clintons. I believe that Bill Clinton was a great president and did a lot of work for all Americans. And going into this election and early part of the campaign, I wasn't all the way decided. Really liked Hillary Clinton. I now think that both Senator Obama and Senator Clinton, both of them, their minds and their hearts are in the right place for the country. I think a lot of the mudslinging that has gone on as of late has to do with the fact that they are so similar in their agenda for the nation. And so the question then becomes, I think we've gotten to a place in this country where we're so cynical toward politics that it's been so long since we've had candidates and politicians that inspire us to do good and inspire us to be hopeful. And so to me, that is the deciding point when I look at Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I believe both of these people are brilliant. They are intelligent. I believe they are two individuals that will go and work on behalf of the middle class of America and those that are disenfranchised. But it really does, for me, come down to the person who is able to. This country has been hit so hard in the last 8 years in terms of becoming cynical, in terms of thinking ill of the government, that we need inspiration. You've had no major movement to take place, except that you had a charismatic person who can inspire the masses.
Let me, you talk about, it has been a bitter battle. You mentioned some of that, and it has gotten nasty. I want to play some clips here. In the final push to win Pennsylvania, Barack Obama has been running TV ads across the state. Many describe his latest batch of attack ads as a departure from what he's described as an optimistic approach to politics.
There's a reason every major newspaper's endorsed Barack Obama. He knows how to bring people together. He's ready, says the Inquirer. The Post-Gazette calls Hillary Clinton's attacks the cynical responses of old politics. She'd further the deep divisiveness in our country. The Patriot News says Barack Obama offers real change in the White House. He isn't tied to lobbyists and special interests. He'll listen to and represent all Americans, says the Morning Call.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
In response to Obama's now famous words about bitter, quote-unquote bitter Pennsylvanians, here's Hillary Clinton's ad that addresses his comments head-on.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Barack Obama said that people in small towns cling to guns or religion as a way to explain their frustrations.
I was very insulted by Barack Obama.
It just shows how out of touch Barack Obama is.
I'm not clinging to my faith out of frustration and bitterness. I find that my faith is very uplifting.
The good people of Pennsylvania deserve a lot better than what Barack Obama said.
Hillary does understand the citizens of Pennsylvania better.
Hillary Clinton has been fighting for people like us her whole life.
Karen Woodings, you're a supporter of Hillary Clinton, but I'm wondering, has too much been made of Obama's bitterness statement and of flag pins and patriotism and maybe, to your mind, not enough on Iraq and the economy?
You know what? I don't think so. I think that Harrisburg, while it's the capital of Pennsylvania, has a lot of little towns outside of it, and I grew up in a little town, and I didn't like those comments. I really did not like those comments. And I would say that I don't cling to my religion out of bitterness. I mean, I cling to my faith because it's what is it's an essential part of who I am. As for guns, you know, this is Pennsylvania, and we're not like everybody else here in the country when, you know, people hunt for their food in Pennsylvania. We, you know, I mean, I'm as liberal as they come, yet I would say to you that I believe that people have a right to bear arms and to, you know, shoot their deer and eat their venison. And I mean, for some people, this is an incredibly rural state.
Well, let me turn to the Pastor Moses for a moment. Pastor, what about those comments by Barack Obama, the bitter, quote unquote, bitter remarks? Do you know people who fall into that category? Do these remarks clash with his message of hope and change, something different?
They don't clash at all. I think a lot of Pennsylvanians and a lot of people across America are bitter. You're hearing that cry. That's why there's this huge cry for change. People are bitter about this war. People are bitter. In the city where I live, we have watched thousands of jobs and plants leave our city. We've seen it all over. Those are the type of things that make people bitter. And I think the media and the way that that has been spun, and I'm going to tell you, from Senator Clinton, I was very disappointed. You know, back when South Carolina was going on that primary, and she made the comment that President Johnson did things that Martin Luther King couldn't do, when people tried to spin it that she was a racist. I was a Barack Obama supporter who said, get out of here with the garbage. Senator Clinton has shown that she is a person that fights for all Americans. Let's not take a comment or a statement that she made and spin it where we really get away from the true issues at hand. And for people to take the statement that Barack Obama made about bitter and, oh, I didn't like that he said that, I mean, I just really think that we are really losing focus of the real issues.
Don Kettle, at the Fells Institute of Government at the University of Pennsylvania, let me turn back to you for a moment. Has the protracted battle between Obama and Clinton hurt the Democrats' chances in November against John McCain, who's now had, what, more than 2 months to unite his party?
The answer is not yet, I think. What it's really done is it's mobilized people like Karen and Pastor Moses and millions of other people around this country with a Democratic message, because it's that idea of inspiring voters and connecting with them that lies at the core. And it's been a voter mobilization, the sorts of likes of which we haven't seen in ages. The problem for the Democrats going on now is that people will begin to start having long memories about some of these things that are being said. It's not good for the Democrats if this ends up being a bitter campaign that ends up driving people away and leaving them sitting at home, or maybe even going to McCain in the fall. So far it hasn't done it. It's been great for the Democrats in terms of mobilizing people, but it's now getting into danger territory, and that's why the make or break primary campaign season has got to come to the end fairly soon, or the Republicans really will pick up the edge that they need against the Democrats.
Let's go to the phones now and listen to some of our callers. Jen is on the line from Providence, Rhode Island. Jen, welcome to On Point.
Hi.
Hi.
I was reading wheretovote.com, which is a really good website, and obviously the people of Pennsylvania are unhappy about all of their jobs leaving the state because of NAFTA, and since all these candidates support NAFTA, I wanted to bring that up. Hillary Clinton says she doesn't support it, but her husband obviously instituted it, and you guys probably remember, I think it was a couple months ago in the news when Obama said he was against NAFTA in a speech, but then he had one of his heads of his, one of his campaign staffers send a letter to the Canadian government explaining that that was just campaign rhetoric, but he's really for it. McCain obviously supports NAFTA as well, and all of them are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, who have a goal to end the sovereignty of the United States. And I really feel that these free trade agreements amount to treason against the United States.
Do you have a question, Jen?
No, I just kind of wanted to talk about this. You also had Chris Young on your show a couple of weeks ago, who's running for the U.S. Senate in Rhode Island, and his website, wheretovote.com, is very informative on this issue and many others, and I very much encourage you, your speakers, and your listeners to take a look at it.
Jen, thanks so much for your thoughts. Don Kettle, how has Bill Clinton, our caller Jen brings up former president, how has he impacted this race?
He's been just an amazing character on here. In part, it's clear he's not quite at the top of his game anymore, but he's still a person of incredible history and depth and connection here in Pennsylvania. Back in the 2004 campaign, he got 100,000 people out in the streets of Philadelphia in a John Kerry rally. And of the people who were there, probably 5,000 were there for Kerry and 95,000 for Bill Clinton. But on the other hand, there is a sense that he's just not quite resonating with people as he used to, and in particular, some of the times when he's opened his mouth, it's undermined Hillary Clinton's ability to be able to get her own message out as well, and it's been a distraction. So on the one hand, he's mobilized a lot of people, but he's also pulled Hillary Clinton off message, and on balance, it's probably a positive here in Pennsylvania, but it's been a tough call in some places.
Karen Woodings, you're supporting Hillary Clinton. How has Bill Clinton affected your vote? To your mind, how has he impacted this race?
You know what? I don't think he's had a huge impact. You know, because they've been all over Central Pennsylvania. Chelsea, Bill, and Hillary. She's going to be in Harrisburg this afternoon, and I mean, he hasn't affected whether or not I'm going to vote for the senator.
Do you trust her? Because I see so many polls now that say in Pennsylvania, the majority of voters, even if they support her, might not necessarily trust her. I guess that's been a key issue for her in the last few weeks here.
I'm not sure how to answer that. I would have to say if I'm going to vote for her, yes. I think that, you know, she's a high-profile candidate that has an enormous grasp of a lot of different issues that I think she brings a dedication to the middle class that surpasses maybe some of these concerns that other people have. I don't think she comes off as a liar. I think that she has a true belief in what she's saying, and that she deserves a shot at winning the nomination.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about tomorrow's Pennsylvania primary with Democratic voters from the Keystone State. We're speaking this hour with two Pennsylvania Democrats who will cast their votes tomorrow. From Harrisburg, Karen Woodings. She is for Hillary Clinton. And from Erie, Pastor Hayes Moses. He's voting for Barack Obama. With us from Philadelphia also is Don Kettle, professor of political science at the University of Pennsylvania. Pastor Moses, I'm curious, as a pastor,
yes,
how you feel about the comments that Reverend Wright made, his inflammatory remarks. How has that impacted you in this race?
Wow. It makes me pay attention a lot more to what I say on all subjects. But I'll say this from the very beginning. When Pastor Wright made his statements, being an African American in this country, I understood a lot of where that was coming from. I think the biggest thing that he said that I thought was just reckless and reprehensible was when he damned America. I thought that was just too far. I thought there was no. I just thought it was just way too far and off point. That said, there are certain things that he has. He said that needed to be addressed. That need to be addressed. Need to be addressed. Just in the sense that it came off very angry. And I think that has been the block in communication between the races in this country is that anger, whether it is white anger, whether it's black anger. And when Senator Obama came out with his speech on race from Philadelphia, it was the first time that we heard someone, not in an angry sense, address these issues. And but what Jeremiah Wright said, the damning of America, I and the vast number of black clergy that I know were totally not in agreement with that.
Karen Woodings, what to your mind was the influence on you, Reverend Wright's comments?
I have to wonder that. I think that it was horrible. I think it was, you start to see themes emerge with the not wearing of the American flag pin, and I know a lot has been made of that. But then when he came out with his anti-American sentiment, I suppose I can understand the anger. I work in anti-hunger. So, I see an incredibly huge disenfranchised population of people. And they have been so disaffected by, politics. And here's a person who's coming out and, wanting to be a coalition builder and wanting to be, bring everybody together. And I would say that, it isn't a popularity contest to me. When we vote tomorrow, for me, it's not going to be based on who is the warmest, fuzziest candidate. Because I would say that would probably be Senator Obama. But I'm looking for the person who's actually going to go in there and get the job done. And, what I can say to you is, on a personal note, I mean, it's an incredibly personal note, but I'll put it out there, is that I spent the whole weekend at the hospital with my brother-in-law, who is not expected to live, and he's uninsured. And looking at Senator Obama's health care plan and looking at Senator Clinton's plan, nobody likes to be told what to do. But I think that she's come right out and said, everyone is going to be insured. We're going to see that happen. And whereas, Senator Obama is more, we want to insure everyone. We want to have universal health care. But, he's not willing to say, this is what you're going to do this.
What are the big differences? And Don Kettle, what are the big differences between the candidates on health care?
The big differences have to do with, in part, the structure of the way in which the plan is going to be administered, and also the point that Karen points out, which is that Hillary Clinton is promising in advance she's going to make sure that every single American has coverage. And Obama, on the other hand, is talking about plans and strategies that will move people in that direction, but doesn't quite come to the point of a guarantee. The real problem at the bottom of all this, and this is an issue that Hillary Clinton will have to deal with later on if she is the nominee, which is the cost of some of this and the fact that she was connected with the 1993 Clinton health care plan, which is one of the things that is going to be a huge issue for her to have to try to get past. So that the Democrats are pushing very hard toward much more coverage. Clinton has gone much further in making a sound guarantee for everybody, but the question is how to pay for it. Obama has been much more cautious on the expense, but then runs into the point that Karen makes, which is that it's possible that not everybody will get coverage out of the plan.
Back to the lines now, to the phones, where Alan is in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Alan, welcome to On Point.
Jane, my best to you and your guests. A great topic, and a couple things I want to say. First, I want to preface my comments with my whole family's from Pennsylvania, grandparents and parents from Gladwin all the way out to McKeesport, and I know the state well, spent many holidays there. I feel that Obama is A-plus in style and a B in substance, and Hillary is the opposite. She's a B in style and an A-plus in substance, and this is what really matters to people.
I agree.
I substance in the bottom line. And the other thing I want to say is that Obama has going to be painted as not just a liberal but a leftist by McCain. They're already starting with all this associations with Hamas and Trinity Church and Hamas propaganda and this guy William Ayers. He's going to have to move over to the center because he's going to lose Pennsylvania by 9 to 12 points, and he's not going to win Ohio or Pennsylvania general election, and Florida being denied the vote, the entire Jewish vote of Florida is going to go for McCain if Obama's the nominee without them being represented at the convention. So where's he going to win? He's not going to win the middle of the country in the general election. He's not going to win Florida, and he's not going to win Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana, and the whole Rust Belt. He's going to win the liberal latte states of New York and California and where I am, but he's not going to win where you have to win to get the Electoral College put together, unless he moves over to the center and repudiates some of the stuff that's going on already. McCain's just starting.
Alan, thank you. Mayor Pastor Moses, what do you think about that? That is the argument that Hillary Clinton can win the big states needed in the general election.
If I may, Jane, I'll just say that I am really and really just getting frustrated and really offended by Senator Obama just continually being painted by Democrats that are for Hillary Clinton as some fuzzy, make-us-feel-good candidate. Here we have a Harvard and Columbia educated man who has worked hard with organizations trying to uplift people in disenfranchised situations, who has been a civil rights lawyer, taught constitutional law. And I heard one of the pundits say the other night, he speaks to America as if they were adults. And it's a new, fresh thing that we haven't had before. And this just continual painting him as a candidate without substance. I totally disagree with that, and I think it's a painting that is really unfair at this point.
Point taken. And what about the second part about Hillary Clinton being the one who can win these big states needed for the general election victory?
I believe, Jane, at the end of the day, the numbers speak for themselves. Senator Obama has won almost if not more than twice as many states as Senator Clinton. He has 700,000 more popular votes, and at this point he has over 125 pledged delegates ahead.
Back to the phones. Danny now is in Osabrick, Connecticut. Danny, welcome to On Point.
Thank you.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Shame on the women who are voting for Hillary because she is a woman. We don't need a gender as our president. She's the first one to cast out stones for the comments of another person, let them write.
Danny, thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it. Don Kettle, if Hillary does not score a decisive victory in Pennsylvania, how much pressure will there be on her to step aside, to leave the race? And what is a decisive win?
The pressure has already been stunning. In fact, one of the things that was remarkable to me over the weekend was that a large number of Democratic Party leaders were saying in advance of the Pennsylvania primary that it's time now to think about trying to figure out how to end this. That is, they were not waiting until after the primary was over to try to find a way to push her away, because I think they suspect that the race is going to be a Clinton victory, but by a narrow margin, that she's not going to be able to have enough money to be able to continue making a strong campaign all the way to the convention, that at this point they're worried about her staying in as possibly a spoiler. This is clearly what some of the Democratic Party leaders are thinking. And so now it's a setup for trying to figure out how the end game of this process works. The problem is that she had a 16-point lead 6 weeks ago. It's down to somewhere between 4 and 6% in most of the polls, not going in the right direction. It won't be decisive. Anything less than 9 or 10 percentage points is going to look like a loss for her, and the Obama people are clearly going to be spinning that way, and it's going to be that much harder to get superdelegates. So that we're now in the endgame stage, and the question is how the Democrats find themselves a peaceable way out of what has been an increasingly contentious campaign.
Karen Woodings, as a Hillary Clinton supporter, do you think that it would be better for the party as a whole for Hillary Clinton to step aside if she doesn't win big in Pennsylvania?
No, I don't. I think that, and I would go back to something the pastor said, which was that people are portraying Senator Obama as the warm and fuzzy candidate, but he is educated. But I think that I would say that she needs to stay in the race as long as she needs to stay in the race. I think she's going to win Pennsylvania. I would hope by the margin that the professor said, but they're both capable people. I just think she has more experience where we need it right now. And I would hope that she would continue on to, hopefully it's not going to be a bitter end, but to the convention, and we'll see what happens there.
Back to the phones. Jessica actually is in Barrie, Vermont. Jessica, welcome to One Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hello, guests. I just wanted to one of your guests mentioned earlier in the program about how important the Second Amendment is to so many people. And what I see here in Vermont, we've already had our primary, and what I see is a lot of discussion about the Democrats, and I believe that a large portion of people that support the Second Amendment feel somewhat disenfranchised by John McCain as the presumptive nominee, which he is actually not. And so they're going over to either of the Democratic candidates, which here Obama won it was a pretty big margin. And I think that there's a problem I don't think that people who have that as an issue are really thinking quite clearly about that issue, because all three of these nominees do not represent any kind of protection for the Second Amendment. And I would say that what we're going to see with any of these three candidates is a huge increase in taxes to try to solve problems that the Bush administration has created and that have also become sort of spiraled out of control over the lack of domestic focus of this current administration. But there is a candidate, Ron Paul, who would definitely reduce the tax burden on people. And I think that when we're going to talk about the economy and we're going to talk about health care and we're going to talk about these different issues that seem to resonate with Democratic voters, there is no difference between John McCain and the Democratic candidates.
Jessica, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. John, do you want to respond to the caller, who obviously is an independent?
Obviously an independent, obviously a Ron Paul supporter, and it's not true that there aren't major differences between McCain and the Democrats, but what this really suggests is the way in which this fall campaign is going to be shaping up. Hmm. There's just a huge number of issues sitting out there that are going to make the job of the next president very difficult, starting with the fact that Social Security and Medicare both are going to need a serious repair. We've got Iraq sitting out there. There are enormous financial consequences because of the savings and loan and the mortgage issues that are facing the country as well. We're going to be looking at a fall campaign that's going to be putting candidates in a tough spot of how much money they're going to spend to try to deal with all these problems that are not going to go away. And both at this point, Clinton and Obama have been very careful about not backing themselves into a corner, but you can see that shaping up as one of the big issues, the collision between the need to try to rejuvenate the economy and the fact that we're not going to have a whole lot of money to spend. And that's the way this fall campaign is going to be really sharp and tough.
Pastor Moses, Karen Woodings, a quick final question. Have you decided on your candidate based on big issues, or at the end of the day, is it really a gut check that goes to character, that goes to the kind of person you want leading this country moving forward? Pastor Moses?
Jane, if I first may say that I agree with Karen that this should go all the way. Every vote should count. Every voter should be counted. So I want to see Hillary Clinton continue. She has that right, and America has that right. I'm going with, I believe, in terms of my decision and my choice on who I want to see become the president, I believe America is a great country, and I believe it's a country with a lot of opportunity, and that we have seen people on the bottom rise to the top. At the end of the day, I don't know if I expect for the president to make that big of a change in my individual life. What I want to see a president do is inspire, on top of be coherent on the issues, inspire, and I also want that person to unify. And that's Senator Obama.
Karen Woodings, about 30 seconds. Short answer, please.
I think it comes down to, for me, their platforms are so similar that it's a gut check. It's who do I believe is going to be the strongest candidate? Who do I believe is going to be able to lead? We can't go with a, you know, I would say we can't go with a just learn as you go. I think that the senator comes with a great deal of experience, and that, you know, may work for her or it may work against her. But I think that we need to go with someone who can get the job done.
And our Pennsylvania Clinton voters, Karen Woodings and Pastor Hayes Moses from Pennsylvania today. Appreciate your thoughts and your perspectives, both of you. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Thanks.
Thank you.
And to Professor Don Kettle, Director of the Fells Institute of Government at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much to you, Professor.
Thanks so much, Jane.
And listeners, you can continue the conversation and download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.